line, Ein Ben Yontif for the Shabbos El Arecha Nefesh Bolvad. The only difference between Shabbos and Yontif is that on Yontif there is a Heter Arecha Nefesh, and on Shabbos there is not. This line appears in the Mishnah in Megillah, Tav Zayin Amud Beis. The same line appears in the Mishnah. Once in a while you have a Mishnah repeated from one Mesichta to the other. There are such cases. There's one Mishnah that even is repeated twice in the same Perek that the Tosfos Yontif doesn't understand. The Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos, in Perek Rav Lezer de Mila, that's the 24th Prokem of Shabbos, one Perek is all about the mitzvah of Mila. So there's one line of the Mishnah that's repeated twice in the same Perek, and the Mefarshim don't understand why. And it says, Mol v'loi para, kilo loi mol. If you did the Mila without doing the Priya, so you're not getting Mila, means you cut off the outside skin, and Priya means you cut off the lower skin. So the Mishnah says it twice in the same Perek, that's a Pella. But here this appears in two Mesichtas. So the Pashtus is an Ishkin Pella. You have every so often a Mishnah that appears in two Mesichtas and it's a repeat. Tosfos says over here, and other places as well, Laman Zayinam and Ba'omanov, Tosfos says they don't think that this is a repeat. Because the Gemara there has a discussion on the Ein Bein Yantum the Shabbos Al-Hamel Shbovad, and here the Gemara has a discussion. And it doesn't correspond. It's a different discussion over there and different discussion over here. So Tosfos says they think that the Kavonis HaMishnah is different. The Mishnah in Megillah, Ein Bein Shabbos L'Yontif L'Arecha Nefesh Bolvad, is talking on the level of Deraisa, because it's in a series of many Mishnayos. Ein Bein Zav L'Zova, Ein Bein Zav HaRoi Shteimir, Zav HaRoi Sholoshri, it's a whole bunch of things that are very similar, but there's a slight difference between the dinim. So it says, on the level of Deraisa, the only difference between Shabbos and Yontif is L'Arecha Nefesh. And on Yontif you have a Heter Arecha Nefesh, and on Shabbos you don't have a Heter Arecha Nefesh. Here, the Mishnah concludes, the whole Mishnah is talking about Dinam Derabbanan over here. You're not allowed to climb on a tree on Yontif. You're not allowed to ride on an animal on Yontif. You're not allowed to go rowing. You're not allowed to clap to keep tune. You're not allowed to dance. You're not allowed to participate in a dintor. You're not allowed to get married. You're not allowed to do chalitza. You're not allowed to be magdish, donate something to the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to be mafish, trumas, and mice. These are all Dinam Derabbanan. Nothing here is deraisa. There were other things in the Mesichta from the beginning till Lamed Vav. Half of them were deraisa, half were derabbanan. But everything here, it says, everything is all mederabbanan. Then this Mishnah concludes, speaking about the din of derabbanan, you should know, Ein Beyontel L'Shabbos L'Arechon Nefesh Bolvad, there's no difference on the level of derabbanan between Shabbos and Yontel. You shouldn't think that we're machma more on Shabbos than we are on Yontif, but again, to Dinam Derabbanan. No, everything is the same. So that's why the Gemara is going to have a problem. How can you say that? But the first line in the Perek starts off, we have a kula, if you have the Peris on the roof on Yontif, on Daf Lamahama base, the first line Perek, you have the Peris on the roof on Yontif, and the farmer sees that it's going to rain, and he's afraid the rain is going to ruin the grain, and he has a... if he has a window on the side and he has to schlep the sacks of peris and throw it in, you're not allowed to do that, not on Shabbos, not on Yontif. But if he has an aruba skylight on top and he just has to pull the sack of peris and it's going to fall through the aruba, through the window on top, so that would make a lan Yontif avaloi b'Shabbos. So the issue involved is an issue of the Rabbanan. What are you making a difference between Shabbos and Yontif on the level of deraisa? What is an issue of deraisa to schlep the peris? No. It's a Shaiva from Tiricha, which is only an Issa de Rabbanan. So we see the Farish that we do distinguish between Shabbos and Yontif, Benegat, and Din and de Rabbanan. So how do you conclude this Mishnah on Lamed Vav on the base and make a statement? No difference between Shabbos and Yontif, only Eichel Nefesh. No difference on the level of the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, it's Taka Machleik Yisatanoim. The first line in the Perik is Mechuluk, but the last line in the second Mishnah, the last line in the second Mishnah is a different Tana. It's not the same Tana. The Gemara is going to start fishing around. Who? Which Tana? There are no names. The first line in the Mishnah and the opening Mishnah anonymous, and the last line is anonymous. So who are these Tanaim have the Machleg? So we're going to learn that soon. But
could there be that the language, the Bilvat, is the Bilvat meant the Kula or the Chumra? Because it's like a general statement, and the only Shinui is of Bilvat. Is the Bilvat to exclude or to include? Is it to make it easier to make a Chumra Kula?
Make a Chumra, not on Yontif. You don't think that anything goes on Yontif.
The Bilvat, therefore, restricted. Be leaning on the way of Issa. That everything is here,
it's
now Kulas except the Ochal Nefesh.
Right.
So therefore, it would mean even the Ochal Nefesh is in a limited fashion. Rather, that you cannot expand into it and from, you know, like Mekayat and Kriyas.
I think that's what it means. Yeah, I think that's what it means. So that's what the Gemara says.
Yeah, the first paragraph, first path also, that the Rabbi Yantef, the source was in the Mishnah, like the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yantef, the Rabbi Shabbos, and the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yantef.
Yeah, that we're machmer more on Yantef than we are on Shabbos. Okay, that the Gemara says like that.
Yeah.
And the Mishnah doesn't say, yeah, the Gemara suggests based on the Mishnahis. That's right, that's right. So this Mishnah of Lama Vavam Beis, we started it, we didn't finish yet. This Mishnah is dedicated to all Dinim Derabbanan. There's nothing here that's Deraisa. In the first 35 blots of the Masechta, some are Deraisa, some are Derabbanan. This everything is Derabbanan. So the Mishnah divides all of these Dinim Derabbanan into three different categories. The first category they call Shvus, second category they call Rishus, and the third category they call Mitzvah. We'll start from the third category. The third category says you're not allowed, and let's say a person wants to donate, he wants to bring a carbon, he wants to donate a carbon, oil carbon, shlamim. So he has a behemoth, and he says he dedicates it, this should be a shlamim, this should be an oil. He's not going to be makriv it today on Shabbos and Yontif, but he wants to be magdish it today. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to be magdish it on Shabbos and Yontif. It's a prohibition. Even though when you magdish a carbon, you're makayma mitzvah. So one might have argued the point, what did they make an Issa Derabbanan? Stachbamaka mitzvah. What do they have to make a chumrah for? So nonetheless, it's called Itzasa Mishum Mitzvah, means despite the fact that you're really fulfilling a mitzvah, it's not permissible. And the same thing, Ma'ariche. Ma'ariche means a person says, Erko Alai. I pledge to donate to the Beis HaMikdosh his Erech. If I say Domov Alai, so his value, I want to donate to the Beis HaMikdosh Pliny's value. So he shuts him up. Shaman also kevin on Nimke Bashuk. He assess how much he would be sold for on the slave market. Now there's no slave market, so in our part of the world there's no slave market, so he pays nothing. But if you would, huh?
Insurance.
I don't think so. I don't think that counts. Value is considered al pidin kamahu shav limke oshuk. Let's say you have a second hand tape recorder. So it doesn't sell for the same as the first a brand new tape recorder. But the Alpidin, the Shabbos is how much it can be sold for Bashuk. Let's say I have an old Gemara that my grandfather saved through the war in the concentration camps, whatever. And to me it's worth $5,000. But if you sell it on the market, you're not going to get a customer for $5,000. I'll give you a nickel. I need an old service in a Gemara. It only has sentimental value to me. So the Nesivis writes in several of his ones, the sentimental value Alpidin doesn't mean anything. If someone destroyed the Gemara, they lost it, they only pay me a nickel. You pay kamahu shabalin kabashuk, only if the thing has a value in the marketplace, if you can sell it. Insurance value is a different thing. It's not how much you can sell it for. So if a person says domov alai, he wants to donate to the Beis HaMikdash how much that person is worth. So if you have a slave market in the country where he said the nether, and then you can assess how much he would be worth. Kamu shavalim kabashuk as an edit, that's how much you pay. What if you say erko alai? So then it doesn't matter whether he's worth a lot, worth a little, whether there is a slave market or not, there's a fixed value that the Torah gives. If it's a man or a woman, it's determined is he younger than a month old, is nothing. No erchim. From a month to the age of 5 is one erich, from the age of 5 to the age of 20. 20 is 20, one, from 20, 20 to 60 is the main, is the highest amount, and above 60 is less. And it's a difference of that, so you pay. If a person says Erko Alai, he says Erki Alai, Erech Plani Alai, whatever, so you pay however much it says in the Torah. So if a person that is donating money to the Beis HaMikdash, he says Erko Alai, Dom of Alai, he's doing a mitzvah, he's pledging, the mitzvah will be if he pays it up. If he takes the pledge, he doesn't pay, there's no mitzvah. It means if he takes a pledge and he ultimately pays up, so not only does he get a mitzvah for paying it up, he gets a mitzvah for taking the pledge as well. That's how the Gemara says. When it comes to Inyoni Hegdish, the Gemara says the same thing by Tainus. If a person takes a neder to fast the Tainus and then he fasts it, so not only does he get the Kiyama mitzvah for the fasting, when you fast it's also considered as if you brought a korban. Miyotchel b'vidomi. A person who fasts loses a little bit of weight, an ounce or two of weight. So miyotchel b'vidomi, the Gemara in Brachas uses a lashon. When he lost a little bit from his fat, lost a little bit from his blood, so it should be considered as if he had offered a korban in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach, and he offered the dam in the chelav on the Mizbeach. So it's also considered like a korban. So just like in korbanos, the hakdosh is already one mitzvah, shein fadin ta mitzvah. And when he's actually makriv the korban in the Beis Hamikdash, that's a tzeita mitzvah. And if he just pledges and he doesn't give, he ahata an avera. He doesn't have any mitzvah. So the same is true regarding a neder tainis. When the person takes the neder tainis, that's like kachutzom. The Gemara quotes the pasuk kachutzom kiru atzoro. When you designate the day as a yom tainis, it's as if you were magdish the korban. And then when you actually fast, that's like hakrovas hakorban. Mi etchel v'dami, you should be accepted like as if I had offered the korban on the mizbeach. So this is a mitzvah. When you take the neder to be magdish something, magdisha means to be magdisha behema. Maricha means I say erko alai. Machrimin means I donate something to the Beis HaMikdash. So these are all mitzvahs. To donate or to pledge to donate something to the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah. When you give it, it's a tzveita mitzvah. When you pledge, it's already the haskolos ha-mitzvah. So nonetheless, the Mishnah says it's also mishum mitzvah. Despite the fact that it's a mitzvah, it's also. Why is it also? It's all also because of Mekach and Memko. Also with the Rabbanon. It's also with the Rabbanon. Gzeira Shem Yichtov. They made a gzeira with the Rabbanon that you're not permitted to sell or purchase anything. Let's say there's a Nochri who's selling and I buy from the Nochri. And there's an Erev. So I'm going to carry money. So money is muktzah. I won't carry the money. I'll tell the Nochri I want to buy his automobile. And you should come to my home and here's a pile of money. You should take the $20,000 and I'll pick up and leave the keys and I'll drive away the automobile after Havdalah. So just to do Mekach HaMemkar, just to do the Mekach HaMemkar is an Issa D'Rabbanan Gzeira Shem HaYichtov. You're not allowed to do that. So Mekach HaMemkar not only includes actually selling or buying, it includes to be magdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, to say Erki Alai, Erko Alai, to be Machrim, to donate anything to the Beis HaMikdash is also a violation of Mekach HaMemkar. And the same thing, a Magdim Chumas HaMaisus, when the farmer has tevel, any terrorist that grew in Eretz Yisrael, so first he has to set aside 2% as Chumas HaGdolah, then he sets aside 10% of what's left as Maaser Rishon, then he sets aside 10% of what's left after that as Maaser Sheni. So when he designates the Chumas HaGdolah, it right away belongs to the Kohanim. Kozman that it's tevel, it belongs to the farmer. The minute he says Harezi Truma Lashem Ala Kol, it becomes the moment of the Kohanim. Then when he designates 10% of what's left as Maaser Rishon, it belongs to the Levim. So that's an act of Mekach HaMemkar just by talking. Usually by speaking, Eina Mekach Nikne B'Dvar. You can't transfer ownership by just declaring. Have I declared the Gemara belongs to you? It doesn't transfer ownership by declaration. You have to make a kinyan. But here, when you're marfish, truma is nice, it's just by amira, this should be truma. That this truma belongs to the Kohanim. This should be Maaser Rishon, belongs to the Levim. And Maaser Sheni is mama gavoya, so it's also considered a haknor. So these are all a violation of Mekach HaMemkar. So one might have thought that maybe the Chacham only goes to Mekach HaMemkar, also with the Rabbanu Shem Yichtoi, but stam Mekach HaMemkar, a hedyot. But to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, maybe it's the Chamitzvah, maybe there shouldn't be Goyza. So the Mishnah says, nonetheless, even though there's a full mitzvah, you're not allowed to do it. There's a gzeres mekach hamemka.
It's
chal.
It's chal.
Yeah, it is chal. Yeah, despite the fact that he violated the Isser, the neder is binding, and he has to pay up after Shabbos. So if he donates, I hereby donate this to the Beis HaMikdash. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. But at the same time, he was in violation of the din. It was a violation of the din, yeah. The din is, if you make a kinyan on Shabbos, like Gemara and Bob Mitzi in the first paragraph, if you make a kinyan on Shabbos, the kinyan is chal.
If you make a kiddushin on Shabbos, you marry somebody on Shabbos?
Kiddushin is chal, yeah. If she's Jewish, yeah. No. Henry Kissinger's from Washington Heights, from Breuer's, so he married the shiksa on Shabbos. I think the mother went to the chassid, the father didn't go. The father said shiksa. Father's on Shiva and Mother. So the Kiddusha was not Chal. Because we married our Shiksa. Yeah. Yeah. So the third part of the Mishnah says, Mishul Mitzvah. You're not allowed to do these things, even though it's a real mitzvah, they were still going to the Rabbanah. This middle part of the Mishnah says, Mishul Rishus. Even though it's a halva mitzvah, it's a semi mitzvah. It's the Chakal V'Chaimer. And the third part of the Mishnah, it's a full mitzvah. And they were still Geizah to Asim and the Rabbanon. So in the middle part of the Mishnah, it's a Halba mitzvah. So they were also Geizah and the Rabbanon. So what's considered a semi-mitzvah? So it says ve'elu hem mishum rishus. Take a look in the middle of the Mishnah where it has a ches in brackets. Ve'elu hem mishum rishus. The middle part. The following activities are forbidden on Shabbos, despite the fact that there's a semi mitzvah loy donim. Let's say they want to have a din Torah. So the dayanim want to discuss the case on Shabbos. It's a mitzvah. It's a shtikl mitzvah to have to be done a din Torah. Kol adon din emes lamita nasa shutav lakodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereishis. A mitzvah to do a din Torah. So despite the fact that it's a shtikl mitzvah, you're not allowed to have a din Torah. Gzeri shema yichtov. V'loy mekachim, you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos. V'loy choltzim, you're not allowed to perform chalitza. V'loy miyabmim, you're not allowed to do yibim. Fake the gemara kasha, why is it a semi mitzvah? You make a din Torah, it's a real mitzvah. You get married, it's only a semi mitzvah. It's a real mitzvah. Not a semi-mitzvah. To be Mekadosh and Isha, to do chalitza is also a real mitzvah. Yibum is a bigger mitzvah than chalitza. Yibum is a real mitzvah. The mission says mitzvah yibum koydemus lemitzvah chalitza. So it's a bigger, it's a preferable to do yibum. And second best, if you don't do yibum. Today we don't permit yibum. The Rabban.
Abishulim.
Abishul, yeah, but... Abishulim. Yeah. But we still do chalitza. So why, the Gemara asks, why are these considered semi-mitzvahs?
If
Yibum
is just an act of
intercourse,
why is it
forbidden?
Is there a
procedure
for
He's kind of the wife by the Yibum.
But it's not like
Hayat Mekadesh,
it's just...
The Din is, the Mishnah says, Ahabal Yivimtoi, if a man is Miyabim the Yivoma, even the Shoigek, he thought that it was his wife. He didn't realize that that's the Yivoma. Or Balkarchai, let's say someone holds a gun, and she doesn't want, and he doesn't want, and they threaten they're going to kill him unless they do yibum, and they do yibum. So this can you hard by Yavah. If he wants to do yibum, they can do yibum. They don't. They both want to do chalitza. They don't want to do yibum. Someone threatens them, they're going to kill him unless they do yibum. So they do, but they're really not interested in getting married. So the Mishnah says that the yibum is koina, nonetheless, you don't need das. But it is koina, so it's a kinyan. So it's included in the prohibition of mekach memkar. Let's say someone gets married on Shabbos. So whether it gets married, b'keseh, b'shtar, or b'diyah, any one of the forms of kiddushin is still a prohibition because it's mekach memkar. Yeah, even though the yibum is against you, if they hold the gun, so you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos mishum pikuach nefesh. Let's say a guy says, not allowed to do yibum on Shabbos. He's not mechayiv to be meisa nefesh. But if he does it midaita, if he agrees to do the yibum on Shabbos, that's an iser. That's a chilul Shabbos because it's mekach hamemka, because he's kind of the wife.
I thought the Eastern tradition was because of the monetary.
No, he gives her a ring.
The concept of
Kenyan. Kenyan, you're right. Because she becomes his wife. That's a Shabbos. What do you mean? She becomes his wife, he owns the wife. It's a Kenyan. The husband owns his wife. That's a question over here. The Rishonim say, the smag. that's after Nisuin. What about Erisin? Well, first, when you get married, there are two stages. First, you give a ring, say Hariat Mekudeshesli. That's called Erisin.
Right.
And then you stand under the chuppah. In the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Mishnah, there would be a long pause, a year, a half a year in between. First, they would give a ring, say Hariat Mekudeshesli. They wouldn't be living together. The wife is an Eishes Ish. Erisin. Today means engaged, but Erisin in the Halacha and Tanakh and the Mishnah and the Gemara, Erisin means Mekudeshes. You need a get. Yeah, you need a get. Right? So the first it was Erisin, she's an Eishes Ish. And you don't say, Kol Masha Kansi Isha Kana Baila yet. And then you have later, a half a year later, you have Knisa L'chuppah, they stand under the chuppah and they say the Sheva Brach is under the chuppah. And then after the Knisa L'chuppah, then you say, Masha Kansi Isha Kana Baila. So the Yerushalmi, Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi here on the bottom, four lines from the bottom of the bottom Tosis Lamed Vav on the base. They quote a Yerushalmi in Ksubis and Yerushalmi in Yuma that you're not permitted to do Nisuin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Let's say they already made Erisin a long time ago and they want to do Nisuin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Yerushalmi says that that's forbidden. Why? That's considered Kaina Kinyan. In what sense is it kind of kinyan? It's a violation of mekach memkar. So they say mefarish hasam time, or the reason why, because atchula kines, until he does the, that's a mistake. It's just atchula kines, until he does the kinesa lechupa, until he does the nisuin, he only has erisin. Ein azaka b'mitziyosu v'loy b'maisi yodeh v'loy b'haforis nedareha. You don't say mashikansi yishikana baila. All the schusim mamen don't apply.
She's
well, Misha can, so...
She's a mask on, she can still eat
chumah. No, not. If she was a Bas Kohen, she was eating Truma, and then she marries, she has Kiddushin with a non-Kohen, so she's already forbidden to eat Truma. Even though, no, that's Minat Torah. The other way, if she's a Yisraelis who had Kiddushin, Erisin, with a Kohen, so Minat Torah, she's permitted to eat Truma. Arus Achel is Betruma Midrabbana, we don't permit her to eat Truma. But the other way around, she was a Bas Kohen. She started off as a Bas Kohen who does eat Truma, and then she has Erisin, so Minat Torah and Midrabbana, she's not allowed to eat Truma. She's not allowed to eat Truma. But the Yerushalmi says that until you do Achaloi Kinsel, until he has the Nisuin, he doesn't get Mitzuyosa Labailo, there's a Dindarabana, Maisiyoda Labailo, Komashikon Tzvishikon Labailo, everything goes to the husband, all of these Chusei Imam and so on, this only begins after Nisuin. After everything, you don't have it. So if you do Nisuin on Shabbos, that's a violation of Mekkah HaMemkah because it's Kekoina Kinyi Mishabbos.
What about the Ketuvah? One minute,
we're going to talk. Oh, now the shayla is, that's to do nisuin on Shabbos. State Nishalmi, you're not permitted to do nisuin. So if they're already married, they already had erisin a year ago, and now they want to march down to the chuppah on Shabbos, so it says you're not allowed to, that's kind of kinyan b'Shabbos. That's the Nishalmi. What about to do erisin and not to do nisuin? Let's say they want to have, he wants to give a ring, say Hariyam Kudeshusli on Shabbos, or give a star and say Hariyam, so the star is already written. Once you give the shtar, say Hariyam Kudesh, then they're going to do Nisuin. They won't do Nisuin on Shabbos. They'll do Nisuin in another couple of months. What about just to do everything? So that's our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to be Mekadesh. The Mishnah says, Kiddushin and Chalitza. Loi Mekadshin. Loi Mekadshin goes to be Magdish of Behemah. The Loi Mekadshin means to be Mekadesh and Isha. So what's wrong with Loi Mekadshin? Why is it forbidden to be Mekadesh and Isha on Shabbos? So the smag writes over here on this. The smag claims that it's a machlekes the Bavli and Yerushalmi. This is all part of that Shuvas HaRamah that some of the people we mentioned last week, some of the people who are familiar with it, married on Friday night. So the Ramah quotes this from the smag. Years ago, the smag was very famous here on the Ayin Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. He always gives you all the marmakamas, where to find every din in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Ramah and in the smag. So years ago, they used to really, in the 1500s, when this Ayin Mishpat Ner Mitzvah was written, it was very popular to learn the smag, and they all wrote Pirushim on the smag. And today, hardly anybody looks in the smag. So anyway, this smag happens to be an important one. The Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, written by one of the Balei HaTeshuva, has a listing of all of the Taryag Mitzvahs, and he gives you the dinim, and then he starts going through the Piskei Halachas, according to Taisus, according to Rashi, according to Taisus. And every so often there's a comment that appears in the smag that sheds light on Pshat and Taisus. We have a lot of times, it's a chunk of a Taisus. A lot of times you have lines missing in Taisus, and the smag fills in the missing lines. So here there's a comment in the smag that on this din, not to do any suin on Shabbos, they already had erisin a year ago, and they want to march down the aisle and to have under the chuppah on Shabbos, that's osur, shteit nishalmi mishum, mekka chamemka. So why is it forbidden to do erisin on Shabbos, no nisuin? So he claims that that's a machlek is the Bavli in Yerushalmi, that the Bavli says gzeir Hashema yichtov. Here, take a look, the last line on Lamed Vav on the base in the Gemara, loy mekachin, you're not permitted to be mekadesh anisha. The Gemara says, why is it only a halba mitzvah, why isn't it a full mitzvah? Shine, the Gemara is going to go weiter. Then the Gemara says, on the third line from the top, the Kulu and all of these, what's wrong? Why is it forbidden to be Mekadosh and Isha, to do Chalitz and to do Yibum? The Kulu, time of Ma, Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. It's Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. What's he going to write? So Rashi says, Shem Yichtov. He may write the Ksuba on Shabbos. Usually you write the Ksuba when you do Erisin. Sometimes you don't write the Ksuba during Erisin, you write the Ksuba when you're holding by Nisuin. You have to have the ksuba when you make the nisuin. You have to have the ksuba. So we hand over the ksuba in between the erisin and the nisuin. Why is that? That's because the Rambam has a gemara in ksubas. The Rambam has a gemara in ksubas in Perek Afalpi. The Mishnah has a din like this. Let's say a man got married and he gave his wife a ksuba, and in the ksuba he says, not only am I obligated to give you honor, cherish, and love his wife and support her early on voyage, shine. And in the event that he dies or he divorces, he has to pay a ksuba. But he adds on, he loves her so much, he adds on tosefes ksuba. The ksuba is very little. By us, the ksuba is not so much money. How much is ksuba? Make a calculation. Yeah. Ksuba is 50 shkolim. Kesef yishkol kemor hapsulas. Oynes ha-mefata is 50 shkolim, and it says you pay 50 shkolim kemor hapsulas, the same amount as a ksuba. So how much is 50 shkolim?
What's 2,000 zuzim?
10 times pidyon aben. We'll get to that. It's 10 times pidyon aben. Pidyon aben is 5 shkolim. So it's 10 times pidyon aben. How much is pidyon aben? How much do people give? The biggest machmir don't give more than $25. And that's way more than you have to give.
By pidyon aben?
By pidyon aben.
So $250.
So $250 at the Gantzik Suba is very little. $250 is 50 shkolim. Very little. So that's not too significant. So that's why we have an aksuba, tosefes. So we add on much. We have the ikar ksuba, and then we have tosefes, then we have nedunya. So the tosefes and the nedunya, we write masayim zekukim kesef tzorif. 200. These are German coins from the days of the Maharil. The zekukim kesef tzorif don't appear in the Gemara anyway. This is from the days of the Maharil. German coins zekukim. So these zekukim, this is worth $15,000-$20,000. It depends on the value of the silver. It's worth way more than the ikik suba. The ikik suba in Gantzen, how much do we say?
$250.
And the tosefik suba is worth $15,000-$20,000. So you give a lot more. So the Mishnah has the following shayla. A chosen gets married and he loves the girl so much he gives her ksuba with tosefik suba, not just the ikik suba, the $250, tosefik suba $25,000, $100,000. And then he dies before. Let's say he gave the ksuba during erison. He gave the ksuba during erison, and he dies before he ever has the nisuin. So she's entitled to collect the ksuba. He said if she becomes an amana, she became an amana. So the Mishnah quotes of Blazim and Azariah, all she gets is the $250. The extra money, like Kasa Tenumdene, like Kasa Ela Das Lekainsa, even though he didn't say it tonight, but it's obvious, it's self understood that he only meant to add on more if they're ultimately going to live together. But if he didn't live so long, he died before he ever made the Nisuin, so then she's not entitled to collect the Tosefes Ksuba. She doesn't get anything over and above the Ksuba. So the Gemara there has a suffix. And we pass like Rav Lozman and Azari. We pass like that time in the Mishnah, the beginning of Perek Afalpi. So then the Gemara has an Ibayat Delayv Shita. What would Rav Lozman and Azari say if they did have the Nisuin, but Pirsa Nida, she became a Nida, and then the husband died before she ever went to the Mikveh. So they had the Nisuin, but they never had a chance to live together because the husband died before she became Tahira. So would Rav Lozman and Azari say, since Chibas Chupa Kaina, since they had the Nisuin, so therefore she's entitled to the full $25,000, $100,000 of the Tosefes Ksuba? What he's saying, no, it's self-understood. He only meant if differently. So what's the suffix? So what exactly is the other side of the suffix? So Pasha Pshat, you're learning, Mar, is that suffix in Ablozim and Azariah? What's the Umdin and what did he mean? Did he mean to be mischayv himself $100,000 extra Tosefes Ksuba over and above the Ikik Ksuba? Only if they actually live together, it's possible to live together, or even not, just went through the motions of chuppah. So the Rambam has a totally different shot. The Rambam writes, no, it's not a suffik in Ablozim and Azai. It's a suffik whether nisuin, chuppah shene roi labia, whether the chuppah is kaina. If you do a chuppah on a woman who's a nida, if you give a ring to a girl who's a nida, then go to mikveh and say, harat mekudeshesli. So the Gemara learns that in Kiddush, and the Gemara learns from Pasuk that the Kiddush and Achal. Even like kiddushin are not tofs and b'chai b'krisis, and a woman who's a nida is an isa karis, but she can go to mikvah later on. So the Gemara learns some pasuk.
Like a mumbai.
Yeah, like a mumbai. So he nidasa olav. We see that havaya kiddushin is tofsin afilu b'nidasa, even if the woman is a nida. But the Gemara had a suffix. Maybe nisuin is not kind. Maybe you have to have dafka chupa haruya labia. So it's not really a suffix in umdine. Not a suffix, what did he have in mind when he was mischaib himself, when he accepted upon himself the tosefes ksuba? It's a suffix in halacha. It's not a psychological suffix. It's a halachic suffix. Where the chuppah is kaina, chuppah changes the status of the arusa to an asua. Does it take effect if she's chuppah shena ruya labia, or only if she's a tahira and it's a chuppah ruya labia? So the Rambam writes, because of that suffix, not the Rambam, the Balitva writes, the same way the Rambam learned that Gemara, that there's a shaila whether you have to have chuppah, haroi labiyah, on the level of the raisa, if the woman is a nida. So they quote on the side of the Rambam, they quote the Bal Ha'itur, one of the other Rishonim writes, that you have to hand over the ksuba to the girl before you have the nisuin. Because a husband is not permitted to live with his wife if he didn't give the wife a ksuba. So if he's going to have chuppah, he's going to stand under the canopy and say the Sheva Brachas, and he didn't hand over the ksuba, so it's a chuppah she'ein aruya lebiya midirabana. It's like if the woman would be pierced anida, she would be anida, so it's a chuppah she'ein aruya lebiya midiraisa, because of the yis anida. So if she's tahira, but he never gave her the ksuba yet, so that's a chuppah she'ein aruya lebiya midirabana. So that's why we are machmer always to hand over the ksuba before you have the Sheva Brachas, under the chuppah. In between the eris and seherat mekudeshesli, and then you hand over the ksuba to enable the chuppah to be a chuppah royal abir. And once you're handing over the ksuba, so you may as well read what it says in order to have a hafsoket. Because we're going to say in the days of the Mishnah, in the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Gemara, that they had a pause of several months in between the eris and the nisuin. So we understand why they said bar pi agofen on the kaishal nisuin. You can't rely on the kaishal eris, and that was a year ago. There's a hesach hadas from a year ago till now. But Bizman Hazeh, we have a practice that we have one right after the other. So Beit HaShayla, why are you saying Bar Pi HaGofen at Tzveitam? You just said Bar Pi HaGofen 2 minutes ago. So why do you say another Bar Pi HaGofen? So it looks funny. So Mikra Din is not a problem like Arba Kaisis on Pesach night. That by the Ashkenazim, we follow the Shitas Bali HaTaisis on each one of the Arba Kaisis, you say Bar Pi HaGofen. The Svardim follow the Mechaber and the Ramam and the Rif, they only say Bar Pi HaGofen twice, on the Kiddush and the second Kap Asher Gyalon is covered with the first Bar Pi HaGofen. Then on the benching, when you say Birchas HaMazon, so that's a declaration of Hesach Hadas. So if you're going to drink the third Kais, then you have to say another Bar Pi HaGofen. On the fourth Kais, there's no Hesach Hadas. So the Minig Svard is Shitas Chach Misvar. The Svardim follow the Minig, the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, they only say Bar Pi HaGofen on the first Kais. And on the third curse, on the second curse, and the fourth curse, there's no Hesach Hadas. They just said Bar Pi HaGofen a couple of minutes ago. But the Ashkenazim don't have that practice. We say Bar Pi HaGofen four times. So what's the answer? So the different explanations. So the basic explanation is, each curse shall bracha requires another Bar Pi HaGofen. And each one is another curse shall bracha. The first one you say Kiddush Alayayin. The second one is you say Asher Gyalanu Alayayin. The third one is Bichas HaMazon Alayayin. And the fourth one is Bichas HaShir. That's the Lashon HaMishnah. You say Nishmas, you say Yishtabach, so that's called Bichas Hashir. So that's the halacha. Whenever you recite a bracha ala kos, you require a Bar Pi HaGofen, even if it's not really needed, mitam Bichas HaNehenen. Mitam Bichas HaNehenen, you can rely on the fact that you just said Bar Pi HaGofen 2 minutes ago. But it's a special din. Whenever you're saying a bracha ala kos, we require another Bar Pi HaGofen. So that's probably the answer by the chuppah also. That when you say the Birchas Nisuin, the Sheva Brachas, Alayayin, say Shakol Bor Lechvayda, and Yotzavad, Mashiach, and Salma, all the Brachas, so it's a Brachas, Seder Brachas, Alakos, you have to say Bar Pi HaGofen in advance. But it looks funny. You just said Bar Pi HaGofen, at least by the Seder, you have a few minutes, Hafsoka, between his Mamish, no Hafsoka. So in order to make it look better, so the Rabbi Natam introduced that you should read the Ksuba. Would they get to read the ksuba? Want to have a chazan? Want to have a rabbi hold the drasha? Would they get reading the ksuba? Because ben kavakol, you have to give over the ksuba. That's what the baloiter introduced. You have to hand over, the chazan has to give, or the rabbi. Someone has to give the ksuba to the kala, that it shouldn't be a problem of chuppah shein rui lebiyah mid the rabbanon. Just like we don't want to have a chuppas nido, we try to avoid a chuppas nido, because according to the Rambam, that's a sveke de dina. Whether the chuppas nido is kaina or not, whether nisuin shein rui lebiyah is kaina. So we want to avoid a chuppah shein aruya lebiyah on the level of the rabbanon, so we give over the ksuba in advance. And since you're giving over the ksuba, so you may as well read the ksuba to serve as the hefsek. That's how the hishtalshul hadvarim came about.
So if you were making a chuppah nida, would you still have to give the ksuba to her before?
No.
Because it's not aruya lebiyah.
If it's ben kavaka, it ain't aruya lebiyah on the level of the rice, so there's no need to hand over the...
And halacha l'maaseh, we pass in chuppah nida is coming, right?
Yeah, we pass in, because we don't really hold like the whole Rambam. The Rambam says we don't hold like this whole Rambam. The Mechaber says you should try to avoid a chuppas nida, because according to the Rambam, that's the sveke the din and the Gemara. The Rambam says, yeah, it's Nishgefelach, no one holds like that Rambam. The whole thing is a chumrah. So here again, we want to. There's a chashash shema yichto. When you get married, kiddushin, there's a chashash shema yichto. And when you do nisuin, there's a chashash shema yichto. And Bizman HaGemara, they used to have erisin now, and nisuin a year later, a half a year later. So some of the people, half of the people, would give the ksuba in conjunction with the kiddushin, with the erisin. And half of the people will vote later, give the ksuba in conjunction with the nisuin. Prior to the nisuin, they would give it over lasiyas before they do the nisuin, that the chuppah should be royal adiyah, but some of the people would give it before erisin, some of the people would give it before nisuin. So the smag, Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, claims that there's a machlokes. That's one of the Balei HaTosfos. He claims that there's a machlokes between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Why is it forbidden to be mekadesh and isha on Shabbos? What's wrong? So the Bavli says, on the third line from the top, third line, V'kulo mishum gzeresh en yichtov. Everything is all gzeresh en yichtov. So what does it mean? So Rashi says, we're afraid he may write the ksuba in connection with the kiddush.
Can do it. Only the question is,
And the Rishami says it's also because of kinyan. It's also because of kinyan. So the smak says this is a machlekes, the Bavli and Rishami. I don't really fully understand at all. I don't understand at all. For Vayma Pekinumen that there's a machlekes. The prohibition, the Isra of Mekachamemka, Kinyan, is a Shema Yechtai. The whole reason for Kinyan is Shema Yechtai. So where did he see a machlekes between the Bavli Shami? Just saying, Hainahak, same thing. Yishalmi says that it's Mekka Chomemka, it's Oysa Kinyan, and the Bavli is explaining what's wrong with Kinyan, Shema Yichtai. I don't see that there's a machlek.
By Matonah, where it's not a child of Shema Yichtai. I give someone Matonah. Not Shema Yichtai.
Right, so that's a big
difference between the Yishalmi.
No. We have a thing that Mekka Chomemka is forbidden on
Shabbos.
Matonah is a big machlekes, whether Matonah is forbidden or not. That's a machlekes in Rishayim. Whether Matana is forbidden or not.
Zabel's helping is yours.
The Magen Avraham writes the Matana is also on Shabbos.
I
fact Akasha, but they always used to have a minig that they used to give the Drosha Geshank to the Chassan when he had the Yifruf, the Shabbos before the Chassan. They used to give a Matana. So he says the Mokka Mitzvah is Mutter. That's what the Magen Avraham said. I've been not even married yet. So what's the Mokka Mitzvah? This is the Yifruf. So he said that's also Mokka Mitzvah. And how do you know that Matane b'makom mitzvah is mutter? So that the Bahag says, that the Mishnah says that you need shalachem for dalad minim on the first 2 days of Sukkot. You need shalachem. So the Mishnah records a story that the Tanoim were shuttling back and forth between Rome and Eretz Israel in order to negotiate with the Roman government. So when they were on the boat, Rabbi Akiva and Ablozim and Azari and Abtarf and all the Tanoim were on the boat, they only had one Lulav and Estrik. The Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi. He bought it for $1,000. He bought a dalad minim, and he had to give it to the others. Matana manas lachse. So he gave it to Rabbi Kiva. Matana manas lachse. He gave it to Rabbi Blazim and Zayim. Matana. So each one gave it to the next one until they finally gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel. So the kasha is, how can you give on yantar from matana manas lachse? It's dach nekach memkar. So the Bahag says that the b'makom mitzvah is muta. You won't be yoytze if you don't have shalachem. The b'makom mitzvah b'leiz breir is muta. So that's what the Magen Avraham says over here. This is nish b'leis b'ere. You're not mechuyev. You can bring the matana to the chasana. This is the Shabbos of the Oifruf. He's giving a drosha on Shabbos of the Oifruf, and they're giving a drosha gishank. That's why someone said jokingly that the reason why the chasanim don't say divrei Torah by the Oifruf, because they have no Eruvin in the city, so they can't give them a matana anyway. So what should they bother to say? But if you have an Eruv in the city, no. I think about you by your brother-in-law, Dach. No, I remember in Toronto once, Dach. One of the Chassanim said, here there's an Eruv, so he's going to say the Divrei Torah is going to get the matana. They should give him the matanas on Shabbos.
According to Rabbi Gwab, why should the Mishnah read matana also?
It's included. He says it's included in Mekka Chomemka. Another, in the Meiri at the end of the first paragraph disagrees. The Meiri says, if you give matnas metaltalim miyad liyad, then there's no gzev Hashem yichtad. If you give matnas karka, so karka you usually record in a government office somewhere. Everyone should have a record who owns the karka. If you give a matana metaltalim not miyad liyad, let's say I'll make a kinyan suder, that this Gemara belongs to you. But I didn't give you the Gemara yet. We made a Kenyan. So I may forget about it, and I may want to back out later on. So there's a chashash and a yichtov. We'll write it down to make sure that we don't forget. You'll be worried about me forgetting, and I'll be worried about me forgetting. But if it's a matnas matalpa miyad liyad, I give it to you, and we walk away from each other. Goodbye, finished. So the Miri claims that a matnas matalpa miyad liyad has had to go on a day whenever it goes. That's a shot, because the Mishnah at the end of the first parak says, the end of the first parak in Beitza says, if you go visit people on Yontif, you're permitted to give a gift, a bottle of wine, a bottle of chocolates or something, a box of chocolates, a pair of shoes, a pair of tefillin. A Yontif gives a pair of tefillin, he wants it. That's what it says. You're allowed to give him a pair of tefillin. Different discussion. So there, so they have a discussion over there. What happened to the Xeris Mecca Hamemkar? So the Meiri gives the answer. Matnas Metalpul Miad Liad. There's no Xeris and Yichud. There's no Chashash. And the others say no. It's also Makam Mitzvah. It's a Simchas Yontif. He wants to give a matana to the valet, to the hosts, that everybody should enjoy the Yontif meal better. After giving the matana, if there's an Erev, if there's no Erev, so you can only do it on Yom. If there's an Erev, you can do it on Shabbos also.
Is there anything to use it if he brings it on Shabbos?
No, it says even tefillin that he's not going to use, you're allowed to give also, even though you don't want to use it.
So in other words, I could.
Why does he mention the silver? Does not mention
Yisun. That's what Tosis quoted from the Yerushalmi. That you're not permitted to, that's the last
that's
five, six
why,
lines.
Okay, fine, if you tell me, why didn't Al Mishnah mention it?
I don't know.
That's
I don't know. So the Ramo and the Childe quotes this Yerushalmi, quotes this Mag, who claims that there's a machlokes between the Babli and Yerushalmi. That the Babli says it's forbidden to be Mekadosh and Isha on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Gzei Rishem Yichtav, he may write the Ksuba, he may fill out the Ksuba. And the Yerushalmi says that it's also because of Mekka Hamemka. And he and the Smag understood that this is a machlokes between Babli and Shalmi. Like I said, I didn't understand why they had in their mind it's a machlokes. Yeah. Why not say that it's Hainohach? It's Mekkechememke, it's also Gzeresh and Yichta. But that's the way the Smag says, that it's a machlokes between the Babli and Shalmi. What is the yisoid of the machlokes? So it could be the Shaila is what we just said before. When you Mekadosh and Isha, it is a Maisa Kinyan. It's Kesef. The Gemara says in the beginning of Kiddushin, it's learned off in this week's Sedra by Ephron sold the Moris HaMachpela to Avram Avinu by Yigachas Kalartza Miyoda, and the verb Kicha appears Kikach Ishisha Chadosha. So you learn Kicha right from Stay Ephron. That just like Avram Avinu was kind of the Moris HaMachpela, like they Kesef, he paid money, sold to a man, came in the Kaddish and Isha, like they Kesef. So the Gemara understands that the Malik Kesef she can koine mi alma the koine kan. The Zel be Kesef that's koine by karka is koine by Isha. Shtar is also Malik Shtar she koine mi alma koine kan. Shtar is koine by karka also. Shtar is koine karka. So Shtar is koine here. Beers is not koine mi alma. Beers is a special din over here. So the fact is that when you mekadosh in Isha you're making a ma'aseh kinyan. The kiddush. Well, our practice we give a ring. That's Kesef. Shavu Kesef is Kesef. So when Mekadosh in Isha, Ida Kesef, the Chachamim made a prohibition. There's exactly you're not allowed to be Mekadosh Bebiya. So we're only talking about Kesef and Shtar. Kesef and Shtar both Kinyon. So the Shaila is, why is it also to be Mekadosh, let's say, Ida Kesef and Shtar? So the Yerushalmi says that it's Mekach HaMemkar. What do you mean? He buys a wife. He doesn't own his wife. He makes a Maisa Kinyon, which brings about a Halois Ishus. The Halois, what takes effect, is not a Maisa Kinyon. He doesn't own his wife. He did a Maisa Kinyan, Huisha Niknis. The Mishnah starts off, Huisha Niknis Bishalas Drach. Niknis doesn't mean that the husband owns the wife. He doesn't own his wife at all. He makes a Maisa Kinyan of Kesef Hashtar, and this brings about a Matzav that the couple is married. So the Yerushalmi holds that too is a violation of Mekach HaMemkar. Even though you're only doing a Maisa Kinyan, but the Halois is not going to be a Halois Kinyan. And if the Smag is right that the Babli doesn't agree, the Babli is saying, no, it's just a new Gzei Rishem
Meyichtoi. Why is it a Halos Kinyan?
He gets
that's after the Nisuin.
After Nisuin,
he gets a Halos and Dinamon.
It's through the Nisuin that he's going to that. It's through the Nisuin that he's going to
that. Yeah, the Nisuin, that's after Nisuin.
That's the Kinyan.
That's after Nisuin, not after Erisun.
But it's but it's a result of that.
Maybe that's why they don't mention Nisuin.
Beginning.
Otherwise, why does he use a Lashon of Kinyan?
Why don't they mention Nisuin?
Why do they use a Lashon of Kinyan if he's not buying it? Then why do they use a Lashon of Kinyan?
No, it's a Maisa Kinyan. We learn how Kicha Kicham is there from. Just like Kesed is kind of Karka and Shtar is kind of Karka, so to Kesed and Shtar create issues. He can't say it's kind of an issue.
So what is he buying?
He's not buying anything.
No, he's not. It's a matrimony. He's not acquiring.
He's buying a status. He acquires a status.
He's buying a status.
You see?
Yeah, okay, that's right.
It's not some single people understand.
Oh.
Yeah. That's it.
That's a Shaila.
Do you say that's a famous machlokes between the Pnei Yeshua and the Avne Miluim? The Gemara has Pesukim. Let's say a man gives a ring to his sister. He says, "Hari Amukodeshusli." So the Gemara says the Kiddushin on that Chal. She doesn't need it yet. Ain't Kiddushin does. Let's say he goes to his mother, he goes to his shmigir, whatever, he goes to one of the Chayim Gisi Kiddushin on Atops. So the Gemara has a pasuk to teach you that Kiddushin on Atops. What if he goes to someone else's wife and he gives the ring and says, "Hari Amukodeshusli"? So the din is also Ain't Kiddushin Topsin Beishasish. Do you need a pasuk to tell you because it's an erev or because it's an isa kores that ain't kiddushin topsin? So the Pnei Yeshua writes in his kiddushin, my kiddushin, he doesn't think you need a pasuk. Let's say a person has an automobile and he sold it already to one person. He has a house and he sold it. And then another customer comes over, so he sells the same thing to someone else. So you need a pasuk. He sold it already to the first customer. What should I have to sell it to the second customer? So when a girl gets married, she sold herself already to the first husband. She doesn't own herself anymore to sell herself to the second husband. So Ein Kiddushin Tosfin Beishasish is elementary. We don't need a pasuk. She already sold herself to the first husband. She can't. She nishken balabas to sell herself a second time. And Davne Miluim, that's by the Tzoyis HaChoshen and Ebenezer, Davne Miluim quotes the Pnei Yeshua, and he says he disagrees. He says it's against the Gemara. The Gemara in the end of Kiddushin needs the Zelba Pasuk that teaches you that Ein Kiddushin Topsin Bachoso will be the Svar of the Pnei Yeshua. She already gave herself over to the first husband. So what do you mean she gave herself over? What is Kinyonim? And marriage, the Kinyonim, there are no Kinyonim after. She doesn't give herself over. It's a Maisa Kinyan. You give a ring, it's a Maisa Kinyan, like you kind of Karka, like you kind of Maris HaMachpela. You give a star, it's a Maisa Kinyan, but the Halois is issues. There's no Halois Kinyanim at all. So the Pnei Yeshua holds no Pnei that the husband owns his wife with respect to Issa v'Heter. That the wife is not allowed to be mezaneh, that she is considered as if, with respect to Issa v'Heter, she belongs to the husband. And the Tzaddik holds that that's wrong also. There isn't even a Kinyan Issa. Not only is there no Kinyan Mammon, there's no Kinyan Issa at all. Just a Maisa Kinyan with no Chalos Kinyan at all. So if it's really true what the Smag said, I'm not so convinced, if the Smag is right, that there really is a machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, what's the reason why it's forbidden to be mekadesh and isha on Shabbos? And the Bavli does not say that it's mekach or memkar, so I can understand why not. You can say, first of all, there's no halos kinyan moment. And secondly, you can even say there isn't even a halos kinyan isha. It's only a maisa kinyan, but there's no halos kinyan moment. There's no halos kinyan isha even. There's no halos kinyan at all. And the Rishalmi, so that's why the Bavli said it's a new gzeir Hashem yichtav yimei shalat tiksuba. And the Rishalmi says no. Because she's married, and she says not because she belongs to the husband vis-a-vis to the husband. Some of those we interpret. yeah, Davne Miluim, every 10 pages in, so there's all the kashas with that run. Sure. Very famous run. Some of those we interpret. Davne Miluim quotes it every 10 pages, is the one who says that there's no Kinyan at all. So apparently it didn't bother him. One of the Gdolim, the Marcheshes, Rav Henoch Egish, was a Dayan in, he wasn't a Dayan, he was the Dayan in Vilna. He was older than Rav Chaim Moshe. He was born before and he died after. He said a Hesped when Rav Chaim Moshe died in 1941. So he was a big dying in Vilna. And he wrote two Chalokim, two Svarim of Shadus and Shuvas. So in the first Chalok of his Shadus and Shuvas, he talks about this, Machlokes the Pnei Yeshua, with the Avne Miluim, when a woman gets married, is there a Kenyan Isser or not? So he claims that it's 2 days in the Yerushalmi and Yerom. He shows that it's a Machlokes Amaroi. Is there a Kenyan Isser? Kenyan Mama, for sure there isn't. Is there a Kenyan Isser? That's a Machlokes Amaroi. So we can understand if there is such a Machlokes in the Bavli and Yerushalmi, we can understand why the Bavli didn't want to say that this is a violation of Mekke Chamentz. Why they had to say that it's a Nukzeir Shema Yichtov.
Really?
Yeah.
The Rashi Shema Yechov, I don't understand it. He says the Yisr for Kedushin, he's going to write the Shtar Eris on the Kedushin, and Ksuba Liyavama.
Yeah.
I don't understand the wording. I thought you said Ksuba is by, what is the Shtar Eris number one, number two? What's the Ksuba by Yavama? I don't understand the Rashi Shema Yechov. It'll be a matter of Kedushin.
To fill out the Ksuba, most people do when you're doing Nisuin. And here the Mishnah is talking about Erison. So Rashi wants to understand what's the Chashash and the Yichtav. He'll fill out the Ksuba. Usually you don't write the Ksuba when you do Erison. Usually you write the Ksuba when you're holding by doing the Suin, that it should be Chupa Ruil Abir. The Rashi says, Xerish and Yichtav, the Shtar Erison. May decide to be Mekadish Ayide Shtar. We don't do that anymore. The Rambam writes, Kvarno Kolisola Kadish Bekesav. The Rambam writes, there are three ways to make Kiddush, either Kesef, Shtar, or Bia. Bia is forbidden by the Rabbanon, so what's left is either Kesef or Shtar. And he says, but we don't do Shtar. Kvarnog call Israel, the Kaddish be Kesef. We do Kesef. Because the Karoim didn't hold from Kesef. So he says, the Frum Eidim do Davki Kesef, to show that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat there. So Rashi doesn't want to say that by Kiddushin there's a Hashash Shem Yichtav HaKsubah. So he says, Shem Yichtav Shtar Erison. He may decide to be Mekadosh Ayidei Shtar. He may forget. Write the Shtar Erison. And when you do Yibum is Nisuin Ois. When you do Yibum, you don't have to have later. The Yibum is like the Nisuin. So when he's about to perform the Yibum, he has to give her a Ksuba. Like by us, when you're holding by Chuppah, you give the Ksuba. So when you do Yibum, that is the Chuppah. So that's what he says. The Hashash is Shem Yichtav Ksuba. Well, in conjunction with doing the Yibum. That's how Rashi reads. So the Mishnah has the three parts. This Mishnah is talking about Dinim Derabbanon. Ein bein Yontav l'Shabbos alecha nefesh b'vat goes, the Dinim Derabbanon apply equally to Yontav and to Shabbos, no difference. And the Gemara is going to say, we'll get there. The Gemara says that this last line in this Mishnah is in contradiction to the first line in the first Mishnah, so machlek this atanoin. Are there any differences between Shabbos and Yontav? On the level of the Rabbanon, that you're more machmer, you showed a difference that you're more machmer on Yontif than Shabbos. But here the Mishnah, that you're more machmer on Shabbos than on Yontif. So the Mishnah in the first line says there is a difference, and the last line in our Mishnah says no difference in disagreement with that Tana. So the Gemara is going to explain who are the two Tanoim. So our Mishnah is listing off a whole 15 cases that are forbidden with the Rabbanon because of some chashash or another. So the last category in the Mishnah is, despite the fact that these are a mitzvah, which ones? Magdishin, to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, Marichin, Machrimin, Magdim, Shumas HaMaisris, these are all a full-fledged mitzvah, and nonetheless the Chachamim prohibited it. In the middle section in the Mishnah, it's Mishum Rishus, it means a halba mitzvah, it's a semi-mitzvah, and nonetheless the Chachamim prohibited it. So what's a semi-mitzvah? To get married, it's only a halba mitzvah. Why is a halba mitzvah? Kiddushin is a regular mitzvah. To make a din Torah is a full mitzvah. Why is a halba mitzvah? Chalitza, Yibum, why is a halba mitzvah? So the Gemara asks on all of them, why are they a halba mitzvah? Here the Gemara in the last line asks, V'loi Mekadshin. The last line, Alam Evavim Beis. So the Gemara, mitzvah covered. Why do you say it's a halba mitzvah? It's a full mitzvah. And if the Gemara, no, he's marrying a second wife. He already has a first wife. And if the first wife is unable to have children, fine, he did the mitzvah, the two mitzvah, the Rambam has two different mitzvah, one mitzvah to get married, Lotav Hayos Adam Levadai, and one mitzvah, Puruvu, the Rambam counts as two distinct mitzvahs. So if he has a wife, but they can't have any children, and that's what prompts him to marry another wife, that's a full mitzvah. It's a full mitzvah, Puruvu. So the Gemara says, Lot Tzvich Hadis Le'isha Banim, he has a wife, and he has children, and he's Yotzei everything. He wants to have another wife. So why is it a halba mitzvah? The pain in the neck. The second wife. So Rashi says, no, the first wife died. What does Rashi say? He wants to have more children. And the Pasuk says in Koheles, the top Rashi, Pasuk says in Koheles, Babekis Raz Erecha Vela Erev Al Tanach Yodecha. Pasuk says in Koheles that the farmer should plant, he should work in the morning, he should plant the seeds, and even late in the afternoon, in the evening, he should also not be lazy. He shouldn't watch television, he should plant some more seeds. So the Gemara says in Yevamos that that Pasuk is Kipshuto, but it also means, the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Akiva had so many thousands of Talmidim when he was young, and all Talmidim died in one year between Pesach and Shavuos during Sfira. And then the Hoy Hoylem Shomim, there was no Torah at all, until he started to teach Torah all over again. And the second Talmidim were the ones who transmitted Torah to the future generation. All the thousands of Talmidim, they all died out. So the Gemara says, when a Rebbe was teaching Torah for so many years, he shouldn't retire, unless he's not able to function. But Kozman is able to function, he shouldn't retire, he should continue to teach more Talmidim, because the Pasuk says, Ki encha yadeya eze yikosher hazeh o izeh. I forgot the Pasuk initially. You never tell, the farmer will never know whether the first Paris will grow better than the second Paris. And the Rebbe will never know whether the first Talmidim will be successful or the second Talmidim. And the Gemara said the same thing. Somebody was married and he had children. So even if his wife dies, we can't have any more children. He should marry another wife and have more children.
That's mitzvah rabbanan. That's mitzvah rabbanan. Maybe that's what he means by al
b'mitzvah. That's the shaila. Is it mitzvah rabbanan?
Once he's mekayim piruvu with the kids.
That's the shaila. Is it mitzvah rabbanan or is it less than mitzvah rabbanan? And Shulchan Aruch says not even. The Beishmol quotes the Ramban. The Beishmol on Ebenezer quotes the Ramban on Malchamis on Yevomis, who says that it's not even a chiyuv midi rabbanon. It's a midis chasidus, so to speak.
They have more kids.
They have more children. So it's a semi mitzvah.
That's why he uses lashon halba mitzvah.
So that's why the Mishnah called it a halba mitzvah. We're talking about such a case. Then the next line. It says to do chalitze, or to do yibam. Why is it a halva mitzvah, a full mitzvah? So Gemara says, Lo tzricha, we're talking about a case, there are several surviving brothers. One brother died, and there are several surviving brothers, and I am not the oldest brother. And the din is, we learn out from a pasuk, V'hoya ha-pchor asher tele. The simple pshat in the pasuk is that the first baby that's born after they have yibam should be named after the mace. So the Gemara says that in Kol HaTerakula, except for that pasuk. That pasuk doesn't mean at all what it says. And all the other psukim in Chumash mean what they say, and then in addition to the pshuta shel mikra, there are additional levels of interpretation, but you can't throw out the pshuta shel mikra. And this pasuk, this is the one exception to the rule, that the mikra is yetzim midei pshuta, v'hoya ha-pchor, it doesn't mean the firstborn baby is named after the nifter. Mitzvah begodli yabim means that the oldest brother should perform yibum or chalitza, whatever he's going to do, is preferable should be done by the older brother. Asher teled prat la'ilanis. Yochem shemachav ameis means that he gets the yerusha. Whoever, if he does yibum, he gets the whole yerusha. The brother died and he had no children, so let's say he has 10 brothers, so they should divide his yerusha into 10 parts, and each brother gets 1/10. So the din is now whoever does the yibum, it pays. Whoever does the yibum gets the whole yerusha from the brother. That's Yochem Hashemach v'meis. Then it says V'lei Mochi Shmo MiYisrael Prat L'zesh Shmo Mochi. What happens if the what does the Gemara say? If the Yavam, the surviving brother, is a Soris and he's unable to have any children, so we learn from the pasuk V'lei Mochi Shmo MiYisrael. He should perform yibum in order that there should be a chance that they should have children. But if he himself is a soris, if he's 85 years old and she's 75 years old, they're not going to have any children, he can still have yibum. Even though we know in advance they can't have any children. But if she's an islandess is not a hormone imbalance. That's an akara. Akara means a person who can't have children because of a hormone imbalance. But a soris and an islandess means a different thing. Soris means the whole body didn't develop normally. Islandess means duchre nice, and the Gemara says the whole body doesn't develop normally. So that's nismayt from the psukim. That a soris doesn't perform the mohalit.
By soris we mean somebody who has the aver but can't use it also. Right? Somebody's in prison. Is that also a soris?
No, that's not a soris.
So would there be a clear of yibum in such a case?
What do you mean? If he can't have kishu yever,
yeah.
So then there's no, then it's not a maisa biya. That's called mishamish meis. It's not called maisa biya. has to be bechai. So it's not, wouldn't be chal. You can't do. You can do chalitza though. You can do chalitza. Has to do chalitza.
Even though he then can't do yibum, he still has to do chalitza.
Yeah. In mitzvahs he can't do yibum, but al pi din theoretically he can do yibum. So that's the halacha mitzvah begot liyabim. Not only liyabim, it goes on chalitza also. So the Gemara says, why does the Mishnah say that the one who's doing yibum chalitza is doing a halva mitzvah? Because it's talking about a case that he's not the oldest one. I says donim, you're not allowed to perform, you're not allowed to participate in the din Torah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, despite the fact that there's a halva mitzvah. Why the din Torah is a fuller mitzvah? Why is a halva mitzvah? So we skipped. I forgot that Gemara. That's on Lamed Vav on the base next to the last line. Craig the Gemara, why do you call it a half a mitzvah? It's a full fledged mitzvah. Gemara says Leit Zvicha, there are bigger and better Talmid HaChamim who crack a Jack Dayanim. They can knock off the case 1, 2, 3. And this guy is not such a gewaldig gedayim, but they picked him. So it's nishke mitzvah that he should do the din Torah. It will do as a halva mitzvah. It would have been a bigger and a better mitzvah if the better dayan would have been done the din Torah. They stand a better chance of having a psak lamita shel Torah. So in this case, it's a halva mitzvah. So the Gemara interprets that that's what the middle part of the Mishnah goes on, despite the fact that there's a semi mitzvah. They were still goyzim at the Rabbanim that you're not allowed to do all of these activities. And then in the first case in the Mishnah, that's a double pashut, that you're not allowed to climb on the trees, gzeir Hashem or Yachdos Noi, you're not allowed to ride on the horse. Mamish don't mock a mitzvah at all. So the Mishnah says that they introduced all of these gzeiris to the Rabbanim.
And the Angelman would also apply to the Tadeya and the Nitzvah and the Edom, or is it only...
Who's in violation?
Yeah.
Who's in violation? I don't know. Probably only the Dayanim are in violation. The Shema Yichtov go and gate up the Dayanim. They may write down when they have a din Torah, so they always write down the what this one says, what the other one says. They take notes. Or they may write down the Psak. Rashi's worried they may write down the Psak. Psak din. By Yos, the Psak din, usually there's very little to write. By the Gvia Sedis, when they say the Tainis, they write pages and pages and pages and pages. The Dayanim keep on writing notes.
Transcript,
yeah. So that's much more than the Gemara din.
Say something about the writing that when they get out of the din Torah, they can sign it wasn't you that one, it was I that one.
So you have to have a written psak.
Yeah.
So you have to have a written psak.
That's the basis of the
that happens every so often. That the one who lost claims that he won. So you have to give a psak niksav to say explicitly who won the din Torah. So this is the famous Gemara that we mentioned last week. The Ramah here in the back of the Masechtas, they have the Rif. They have the Rif on Beitza here. Here, mine has here. In mind, they have a riff. I don't know if all the Gemaras have. So in the back of the riff on page Chav Dalet, after the riff, they have the Mordechai. So on the Mordechai on page Chav Dalet, they have on the bottom of the page, the Chidush Yam Shishem was written by a Talmud of the Ramah. So he tells the story, Bechero Isi, I was there, by my Rebbe, Ramoise Isilis and Kroke. There was a Yisoyma, she had no father, she had no mother, and her uncle was marrying her off. And they were going to get married on Friday afternoon. Because years ago, that was the minig. They couldn't afford the fleishigan meal. So they only ate fleishigs on Shabbos. They used to get married until recently. They used to get married Friday afternoon, so everybody should have a meal. That was the practice all over, except for Kroker. Because after this story, they stopped. That's what he writes. They stopped getting married on Friday afternoon. So they were going to have the chas on a Friday afternoon. And then they started a whole hassle about the nadan. The girl didn't have any parents, so the uncle was married. The uncle wasn't rich, so the chassan wanted to break off the shidduch. He didn't want to marry the girl, because there was no money. And then the Ramah felt terrible. So he said, how can you do that? So they started negotiating, until they finally convinced him he should marry the girl, and it was deep into the night. Not Ben Hashmash, it was Mamish Leil Shabbos. They didn't write the Tanoim, they didn't write any Ksuba. The Ksuba was already written on Erev Shabbos. They didn't write anything on Shabbos. But he gave the ring, he did the erisin and the nisuin, everything on Leil Shabbos, deep into the night, 2 hours. Some write the story was an hour and a half, the different versions. And one version it says it was an hour and a half after Shkia. And he writes, Shtei Shoes Mishech HaSheicha. I think in the Tshuva Saramo it says, Shoa V'Chetzi. Astira. Well, maybe it was an hour and a half after Tzeisa Kechavim, which was 2 hours after Shkiyim. Whatever, it was the middle of the night. Middle of the night. So the Ramor was Mekel to get married. Vosva business ados. It's against the din. You're not allowed to get married on Shabbos. He says it was a Shas Hatchak, so you have to try to be Mekel. So he says he relied on the Rabbeinu Tam, the bottom Tesis, on Lamed Vav on the base. The Gemara had the three sections to the Mishnah. The third part of the Mishnah said, despite the fact that it's a full mitzvah to be Magdish Karbonis and to donate to the Beis Hamikdash, to take Erchin, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. They made Gzeira even though it's a full mitzvah. The middle part says they made Gzeira even though it's a semi-mitzvah. And the first part said they made Gzeira, there's no mitzvah to clap, to dance, to play piano. There's no mitzvah and they made Gzeira the Rabban. So the Gemara asked on the middle part, why is it a semi-mitzvah? It's a full-fledged mitzvah to get married. So the Gemara says, he already has a wife at Balachon. This is a second wife. He doesn't need to know. This is a very little mitzvah. A little bit mitzvah to have more children. He's getting married. In order to have more children, is a semi mitzvah. Amidas Chasidus. So when the Gemara asked the Kasha and gave the answer, what was the Kasha? Why does the Mishnah, just the Kasha on the Lashon or the Kasha on the Din? The Mishnah says they made Gzeira, you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos despite the fact that there's a semi-mitzvah. So the Kasha was just on the terminology of the Mishnah. Why does this call it a semi-mitzvah? It's a full-fledged mitzvah. So the answer was given. Sometimes it's a full-fledged mitzvah, sometimes a semi-mitzvah, but it's forbidden in all cases to get married on Shabbos. That's how Rashi learns. The Kasha was just on the Lashon of the Mishnah. Why do you put Kiddushin and Chalitza and Yibum and Dintar in the middle category? It should have been put in the last category. So the Gemara said, sometimes it's in the last category, and a lot of times it's in the middle category. It doesn't matter what category, it's also anyway. I'm not allowed to do it anyway. That's Rashi. And the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't think that that's the Pshat. The Rabbeinu Tam says, when you're getting married for the first time, ain lo isho banim, and it's a full mitzvah, they will never go. And if it's a din Torah and there's no better dying around, a full-fledged din, real mitzvah, there's no gzeira. And when you're the godla achim, you're the oldest brother, and you're performing yibam chalitza, and it's a full mitzvah, they will never go. The only time they will go are these things is when a halba mitzvah, when it's a full mitzvah, they will never go. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam read Pshat in the Gemara. Where did he? What prompted the Rabbeinu Tam to say? So the Ramor writes that even though in Shulchan Aruch we don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam, paskin like Rashi, but he says there are a few Rishonim who agree with the Rabbeinu Tam, and with such a Shas Hatchak, so the Shas Hatchak we rely on the Shitas HaYochid. You're not dealing with the Nisa de Rais, you're talking about the Nisa de Rabbanon. They didn't violate any Malachas. So he says they made the Erisin and they made the Nisuin, everything. They did Erisin and Nisuin. That's a shot that the Rabbeinu Tam goes on Nisuin. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam only goes on Erisin. That's what other Gedolim of Gechep at the Ramor. They said the Rabbeinu Tam only said that it was in a, the Mishnah only goes on Emekachin. His Bana Mishnah used to do Kiddushin now and Nisuin next year, next 6 months from now. They didn't do back to back. That was in the days of the Gemara. They did Erisin now and Nisuin later. And then in the days of the Gaonim, they were choshish that the woman is going to be an Eshes, she's not living with her husband. There's a hashash of Znus. So they insisted you have to move up, the Erisin and Nisuin should be together, and we're mafsik with the Kriyas HaKsuba, but basically it's always together. So that's a shayla. When the Rabbeinu Tam read this in the Gemara, he meant to be Mata Kiddushin. He meant also to be Mata Nisuin. Maybe Nisuin is Mochomer. Why should Nisuin? Zalba Yisra, no? Not to do Kiddush on Shabbos, not to do Nisuin on Shabbos. And maybe it's not the same. According to the Bavli, this is all in the Smag. The Smag says, the Bavli says that Kiddushin is forbidden just to say Rishem HaYichtav. And the Bavli doesn't say that it's Mekach HaMemka. But Nisuin is Mekach HaMemka. Yerushalmi said the only explanation to understand Nisuin is not a Nuk Zeir Hashem HaYichtav. Nisuin is also, the Rishami said, because Achula Kines and Zakab ibn Siyasav alav Maisiyadir. Misha Kinsu, if he does Nisuin, Zakai Bekulam, Nimtu Kekoyne Kinyin Mishabes. So that's what other Gedolim have Gechep at the Ramor, Afilo Naniach, that you're right already, that there's Mokin to be Samech on the Rabbeinu Tam, but why were you matter to do the Nisuin? You should have only been matter to do Erisin, and you should have done Nisuin. Matoy Shabbos after Abdullah. Yeah, but that the whole Sheva Brachas was all planned. Why can't you run? Shem Abraham, what he's going to only do Aries and he's not going to do any suing. He said he can't do that. He can't have Nevayish the girl. He said he can. You have to do everything. So he was hoping and praying. He was hoping and praying that Rabbi Tam's Kula goes on Isuin also. It doesn't say the others on Gechep. They said they don't agree. They said they think that Rabbi Tam is only Mekel on Eris and it was never Mekel on Isuin.
Why can't they learn Isuin?
So that's what others write, that from that there was such a machlokes about this. They chepped the Ramosa from that time on in Krokir, where this story happened. They never spelled the Chuppah on Friday afternoon anymore. Other parts in Eastern Europe, they did. It was still a...
They did it on the other side of the river. They did it on the other side of the river.
Not in Krakow proper.
It was not a city proper.
Oh. Not enough to violate the meaning.
My parents got married on
Friday.
I was present on Friday. I saw it.
They said they should have the wedding should be in the morning. They should have one suda by themselves before they get into that. Mishnah mentioned that.
Uh-huh.
But why don't they learn the halacha of Nisun and Isun is coming from Yibum?
An aunt of mine.
Why don't we say the same thing?
It's more or less like Brooklyn.
Also, okay.
It was not so on the other side of the...
But it could be that it's more common than that. That's how they want to argue with the Ramah. Maybe Ein Mekatshin is less of an Issa. That's only Gzera Shem Yichtav. But Ein Noisim Noshim, maybe in addition to Shem Yichtav, is also a Mochomadaki Issa Dehainu Mekachamemkar. But maybe since it's Mochomer, maybe the Rabbin Atam Skula would not apply. That when it's a real Mokha Mitzvah Mamish, it's Mutta, maybe it only goes on Kiddushan, and so maybe he would never be Mata. So that's unclear in the Rabbin Atam. How far did the Rabbin Atam go Lahokim? So they argued with the Ramon. He said, no, he has to go through everything. Not to be mavayish the girl. Then he said, "Kavod Abrius is deicha dinim derabbanan." That's another angle. There's one din that b'shas hatchaki can follow zachan a shite that we normally don't pass in life. So he said, "We follow zachan the rabbi natan b'shas hatchaki." Then they argued. Maybe rabbi natan never said it on his tomb. So then he argued, "B'makim kavod Abrius not to embarrass someone. You're permitted to violate an issur derabbanan." He said, "Even if the rabbi natan never said it on his tomb." There's a covered abrius over here, not to be mavayish the girl, so you have to be matar in Issa derabbanan. No, by dinim deraisa, you're permitted to violate a din deraisa to shevi al tasa. By a din derabbanan, the Gemara says you're permitted to be metame to base a pras, you're permitted to violate the rabbanan bekum liyaseh. And the Yad Malachi, there's a sefer Yad Malachi from the Klolei Ashas from the 1700s. So it's alphabetically arranged off the Aleph based on the Kavod Abrius. He clears a shaila whether this is true, that Kavod Abrius is matter the Rabbanans, matter all the Rabbanans, only matter those specific the Rabbanans that are mentioned in the Gemara. In Brachas Davchav, the Gemara mentions that there's a koyin to be metamin a base process in the Rabbanan, in another one or two. So it's a shaila, the Yad Malachi raised the question, maybe it's only those the Rabbanans, but it's usually assumed not like that Yad Malachi. He assumed all the Rabbanans are Mutter. The Gemara has five or six heterim. Kavod Abrius says Matir, Lominus, and Shatnus is Shatnus the Rabbanan. The Gemara says Klein the Rabbanan, and Issa the Rabbanan, and Beisa Pras Tumas Kahanan the Rabbanan. Then it's Matir, Alav Shena Shova Bako, Yamatir Mishum Kavod Abrius, and what else? A whole bunch of kulas, five or six or seven heterim. Yeah. Mishum Kavod Abrius.
But you know this irony is because we can't be Mavatlam, we can't
be Mekayim,
we can't
be Mekayim, we can't
be
Mekayim, we can't be Mekayim, we can't be Mekayim, we can't be Mekayim,
we can't be Mekayim, we
that's for sure. He writes over the story in the Shulchan Aruch. He's not embarrassed. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes, and I was once shteld a chuppah in the middle of the night on Friday night. He writes it over. He says it was an almana. It was a yisayma aniya, and there was a kavod abrius. He writes up b'kitzer. And the Shuvas of Ramon, he writes b'arichas. He writes the whole story.
They couldn't have responded to Maitri Shavuos.
He was afraid the chassam would walk away. And he was afraid everybody came, the girl would suffer humiliation, even if they would have it Matzai Shabbos. He was afraid he'll back out from the whole Shidduch, and he was afraid that the girl shouldn't suffer humiliation. That's the famous story here.
That's where you start a marriage.
You can cover it up by Mishmitzvah, a claim. It's not even the time of it. You can cover it up here.
It's actually Kavod HaBrius, because that's a special...
The Gemara says that's Mishum Kavod HaBrius. The Gemara says, you see, it's Mater and Issa Deraisa, the Kumbi, I say, how can it be? So the Gemara says that's an exception to the rule. So why is it an exception to the rule? So Tosfos says because it's an Issa Shein Shavu Bakol. On by Nazir also is permitted to be mitami to a Meis Mitzvah because it's a Lav Sheyesh Nebeshela. It's also a weaker Lav. The Gemara has a list of specific rules. All sugi about Kavod HaBrius and Brochus. All sugi. Here Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. This Tosfos appears in Yuma also, in the first Perek in Yuma. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi that if you already had Kiddushin from before, let's say I'm married to a girl, and I want to do Nisuin on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to. The Mishnah never says, Mishnah says you're not permitted to do Kiddushin, to do the Erisin on Shabbos. What about if you already did Erisin a long time ago? To do Nisuin on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to. So the Yerushalmi says, Hadein, those people, the Kansin, Armalto, someone is doing Nisuin on an Almona, he already did Erisin a long time ago. They already stood under the canopy on Erev Shabbos. They already had chuppah on Erev Shabbos. And Yerushalmi says the chuppah is not koina by an almana. So you have to have later on yichud. So if they don't get to do the yichud until Friday night, you're not allowed to. That's the Tosfos, five lines from the bottom. Omer Abuna, Hado Omra, based on what you just said, we can infer the... Based on what you just said previously in the Yerushalmi, that you're not allowed to do Nisuin on Shabbos, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do Erisin. The Yerushalmi says you're not allowed to do Nisuin. Because one of those Nisuin is Koine, Mitziyosa, and Maisiyodeh, it's Koine Kinyam Shabbos. So Hado Omer, this teaches you the following din. Hadein the Konsen Armelin, if somebody's doing a Knisa Luchupe on an Almone, Sorach Lekonsa Mibod Yom, he better do the Yichud on Friday. Because they either stood under the chuppah on Friday is no good. Why is no good? What's the chuppah is only kind of for a psula. The chuppah is not kind of for an almana. So that's what many rishonim say. Chuppah is not kind of for an almana. Why not? Chuppah is only kind of the first time you're around. What's apella? So they're not sure exactly what this line in Tosfos means. So one of the Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes, one of the Achrayim said a pshat, and he makes fun of it. He doesn't like it. It says in Shulchan Aruch that there was a minig, there are more rites and minig in Shulchan Aruch to get married tachas kippah harakia, to get married under the open sky. For generations and generations there were makban on this, to get married tachas kippah harakia, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the brocha to Avraham Avinu, Vayotze osa hachutza, he said, go out of the house, your children will be as many, you have so many children like the stars in the sky. So in order to invoke this blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu, so when we get married, so we get married tachas kippah harakia, in order to have so many children. So this only makes sense if a young girl is getting married, a 20 year old girl is getting married, it's a second marriage, the woman is 65 years old, she's not interested in having so many children. So the minhag was, getting married the second time, you don't get married outside, you get married inside. So the Ramon and Shulchan Aruch, they write, when a psula gets married and she wants to invoke the bracha, so you get married tachas kippah harakia. When an almona gets married in her 60s and her 70s, so you get married in the Beis HaKnesses, you get married in the shul. And that's when the Achrayim chep, in the shul, how can you get married in the shul? Because the reform introduced in the days of the Chassam Sofer, they introduced that they get married in the shul because the Catholics would get married in the church, because marriage is one of the seven sacraments, one of the seven mitzvahs of Menorah, seven sacraments. So they used to get married in the church. So the reform introduced they get married in the church. The Chassam Sofer said, it's a Yehorik Val Yaveh, you know, they get married in the shul. Einer Amoshte, Satoes Atfus. It's a misprint in the Malkempe, you don't get married in the shul. In Germany, they always got married. In Mariel, they always got married in the shul. The Yekis, they still get married in the shul. It's a big yichud. If the rabbi's children and grandchildren get married, they get married in the shul. The outsiders don't. The outsiders get married somewhere else. So this is the whole pilpul. So one of the G'dayla Acharenim said, that's the secret. That's the reason why the chuppah is not kind of for the almanah, is because the chuppah was in the building. If the chuppah would be outside, so by a psula where the chuppah is outside, the chuppah is kainah. But if the chuppah is in the shul, then the chuppah is not kainah. So Chaim Volozhiner says, what? What are you talking? The chuppah is in a building, it's not kainah. Mayim Shmita Eitzel HaSinei doesn't say, he says, yeah, he says the Yerushalmi never said it. It doesn't mean that. There is no such thing. You marry an almana, the chuppah is kaina. The chuppah is kaina. It doesn't mean that. It means the chuppah should be mebal yom. It doesn't mean, despite the fact that you had the chuppah, you have to have the yichud mebal yom. It means the chuppah should be mebal yom. There is no such Yerushalmi. Sure. He likens up the whole thing. But Rav Chaim Baloshin quotes those who said that that's the pshat, that the Yerushalmi already had this minig, that when a psula gets married, she gets married outside, tachas kippas arakiya. The almana gets married inside, she's not interested in invoking the bracha. And the reason why the chuppah is not kind of because inside. So what? So Rav Chaim Baloshin makes fun of it, it doesn't make any sense. But what did Bosam Zega help? How did they learn pshat in Yerushalmi like that? Says, Gwana, not so crazy. Nitazoy mishugin. There is a din in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Mechitzis. It's got a din in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Sukkot. It comes up once in a long while. Really comes up, but it comes up once in a while. If you have walls, let's say around this whole area, let's say you have an area around the whole area here in Queens, and then you make Mechitzis around the smaller area that's inside the larger area. So Al Pidin, Mechitzis for Shabbos are Makif the Mokum. It makes it into an enclosed mark. Alpidin, since everything is swallowed up by the larger hekef mechitzis, alpidin and mechitzis that you made in the middle, ala ma'ala v'la ma'ari. It doesn't, it's not makif, the smaller area. The smaller area is already swallowed up by the bigger mechitzis. So there are rishonim and poskim who hold, what's the whole idea of standing under the canopy? What is it all about? So we usually assume it's based on a farasta kanafecho ala mastecho. The poskim in the Gilas Rus, that you have to have some cloth that by the stardom and by the yekas, they take a talus and they put it over the heads of the chas and kala. So even by the Ashkenazim, even by those who don't put a talus, but they have a cloth on top of the chuppah, put a talus on top of the chuppah, they put the cloth on top. So the cloth is a pchino for us to kanafech ala masecha, that's the nisud. You don't need any poles. It doesn't matter what the Sinishkin Tzuris HaPesach, it doesn't have to correspond to any other dinim, it should be a piece of cloth. And others hold not so. No, it doesn't have to be cloth. You can have metal also. Sometimes you come to a wedding hall and they have a wooden geflocht and a chuppah. They don't have any cloth at all. Sometimes they have a piece of metal on top. It's in Gansa no cloth. So that's a shaila. Is that good for the chuppah? So in Shulchan Aruch they have some Rishonim and Achronim hold that the chuppah is supposed to be in the shape of a Tzuris HaPesach. Tzuris HaPesach is for an Erev purpose. What we call in Yiddish an Erev, you have to have economy kam, kon al gabim. So they say you have to have four poles, and the poles have to be resting on the ground.
But no kon al gabayim.
And the kon al gabayim is a shayla, so they say you shouldn't, usually they have a shmata, a cloth that's rectangular, a square, and then they have a circular ring in the corners, and then they have a pole that holds up the ring. So the B'chacha Rav on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer has what's it called, the Eizem Mikodesh, I forgot about it, on the bottom of Ebenezer he says that that's no good because it's not Kon Al Gabeim. So he says you have to have the pole should be under the cloth, it shouldn't be under the rings. There's nothing there between the one pole and the other, it has to be under the cloth, and that's the Kon Al Gabeim. And they have such they used to have such, the meaning in Europe used to be, they used to use the parochas of the Aron Kodesh. And many communities in Europe used to use the parochas of the Aron Kodesh to serve as the cloth for the chuppah. So they had many parochas in Europe where they had four slits in the four corners. They wouldn't have rings on the four corners and hold up the chuppah with the four poles and the four rings. They used to have slits towards the end so that the pole would be under the cloth. That there will be cloth on top between one pole and the other. It should be kon mikan. The kon al gabeim should correspond to its Tzuris HaPesach. So that's what these gedolim held. Rav Chaim Baloshin held that it was all a joke. He held that that's not what the chuppah is all about. Chuppah is a forastik and a fech ala mesech. It should be a piece of cloth. It doesn't have to have poles. It doesn't have to be a Tzuris HaPesach.
Why do they hold it has to be Tzuris HaPesach? Because it has to be a separate reshus that he brings the
separate power. Separate reshus, like it's kinesa l'reshusa. We consider as if it's a different room, and he's taking her in. So that's what they held. If you have a chuppah outside in the open street, so that it constitutes a makom mukov, so it's like a separate room, so the chassan is bringing the kala into the room. But if you're going to have a chuppah inside, but if she's an almana, she's getting married for the second time, So they're not interested in invoking the bracha of Kol Yezaracha Kechofei HaShamayim. So they're probably going to have the chuppah inside, like the Rama writes, inside the shul. Inside the shul, the whole shul is all swallowed up. So what are you going to say? The shul is the room of the chosn, and the chosn, the kala, comes into his room. There is no knisa l'rishusa. She's not going into his room. The whole thing is swallowed up by the walls of the shul. So that's why they held that that chuppah is not kain.
And the Voloshin held that he wasn't makbid, that you should take him into the Sefer Mishus.
No, he most hold that that's not what chuppah is all about, a Sefer Mishus. Most hold has nothing to do with it, Tzuras HaPesach. Very often at Chassan is they have the people hold the poles. The poles are suspended in the air. They're not on the ground. The cloud, that's not a Tzuras HaPesach. Hold it in the hand. That poles that don't go so tall. You have to hold it in your hands. Hold your hands, so it's the cloud, not a Tzuras HaPesach. Tzuras HaPesach has to be reaching the ground. Anyway, this is a famous Tosfos. The whole topic of Tosfos is very famous.
Would they say also that in poles Tzuras HaPesach they can't be on the 20 hours too?
No, Tzuras HaPesach, Haydn, 20 Amis is also good. It's also good. Maila Masa Mama is good.
It's just Sukkot, it's just Chas.
Korah, no, Korah. Korah. But if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, we assume the Maila Masa Mama is good, yeah. Haydn, 20 Amis is very high. Very, very high. Someone once showed me a Sukkot in Ramaz when they built a new building, so they put a Sukkot on the roof. So they were very concerned, maybe that it's too high. Very high. I don't know, it's like three, four stories high. I never saw a sukkah. It's very high sukkah there on mine, but it's nowhere near Esen.
But the sukkah on the roof isn't judged from the ground level.
From the floor of the roof.
From the floor of the roof.
The roof is a very high...
Oh, you mean even though the floor from the roof already might have been 20
The roof is very high, but it's still nowhere near Esen.
About 30 feet.
That's
about
4 or 5
stories.
Yeah.
If you have the funnels, you can have Malamers from Amo. If you have the funnels... Going all the way up.
The Gemara says if you have Tfanis, it's a Machlo. Tfanis Magis Lutzchak, then even good Lamad and Esna. That's what it always is. And Tosis in the middle quotes, maybe we'll just finish this thing. Tosis in the middle quotes is a Mishnah in the beginning, a famous Mishnah at the beginning of Yuman. If the Kohen Gadol has to be married in order to do the Avodah Yom Kippur. We discussed it before Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
The Tosfos Yerushalmi has 2 days on the first daf in Yuma. What if he's not married? Did the Yevid, the Avodah is Mekulelet? Or no, but the Yevid is good. But L'chatchila for sure the Kohen Gadol has to be married. So what happens if his wife dies in the middle of Yom Kippur? So the Mishnah says they prepared another wife in case the first wife dies. He'll have another wife. So the Gemara asked, what's he going to marry her in the middle of Yom Kippur? So the Bavli answers, no, he marries her before Yom Kippur. Then the Bavli has the kasha, but he's not allowed to have two wives. So he says he gives a get. Okay. So he gives a get, so he only has one wife. No, he gives a get on a Tanai. So the Bavli works hard enough to give him, how can he make a Tanai that he should only have one wife in the beginning of Yom Kippur to the end? How's it going to work? So the Gemara works out a whole cheshbon. The Yerushalmi says, no, if the first wife dies in the middle of Yom Kippur, he'll marry the second wife in the middle of the day. The Yerushalmi says, but you're not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha on Yom Kippur. So the Yerushalmi answers, Ein Shavuos Bamitzvah. Ein Shavuos Bamitzvah. Why don't they say Mokha Mitzvah? It's the Hamitzvah. The Chippa Badar Be'ad Beis HaBeis HaZorish. The Zog B'Mokha Mitzvah is Mutter. Isn't that a Raya against the Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam says that if it would be B'Mokha Mitzvah, it would be Mutter. Says because the Yerushalmi is against the Rabbeinu Tam. So that's what says the Tosfos says. Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. Upgefreck. So then they try to matter. Maybe he's not wrong. Oh, Yishleimah. Maybe Yerushalmi could have said that also. They didn't have to answer any Shavuos Bamigdash. They could have also said B'Mokha Mitzvah is Mutter.
Either way. B'Mokha Shavuos is a better Eretz because it doesn't exist at all. If you say that basically it exists, but you are not allowed to because it's a B'Mokha Mitzvah, that's not as good a Eretz as you say. It doesn't exist. The whole Eretz doesn't exist because there is no Shavuos Bamigdash. That's a better Eretz.
No, but ain't Shavuos Bamigdash only means in Beis HaMikdash is Mutter. I've been a time as Matan Krokir all over the world. Most people get married for the first time. So get married on Shabbos, going to Abir Adam. Why do you say Yen Shavuos Bamim? So that's what the Taisa says, the Koishi. Yen Shlaima, the Yesh, the Gemara could have answered. Yerushalmi could have answered.
I think it's a better time.
Okay. The Bavli that does support the Abir Adam. Lebedig of Taisa. I doubt it.
Did it ever happen?
Yeah.
They died on Yom Kippur, but not... he died on Yom Kippur.
Just in case. Beginning of Parshas Chayistore, Avraham Avinu is so insistent that Eliezer has to find a shidduch for his son. Yitzchak has to go back to his family. Came on the Kohen Mirbel Arzi. What's so gebaldig about the yichus? They were all of the Avodah Zarah. What's the big yichus of his family? Take care. He had a nefesh asheros b'chor. He had the Rambam says he had alofim or revolvers. He had tens of thousands of bali tshuva of gerim that he had. So other rabbi be misharach his son Yitzchak with one of the gerim. What is he misharach with the? He insists. No. He has to go daf. He has to vashbiach b'Hashem, not to marry one of the Bali Tshuva, he insists Dafka. So there's a famous comment that the Ran has in the Drashas Haran, and he has in the Pirush Haran Al HaTorah, by this famous Ran on the Rif, the same Ran. So he has a famous comment. He says, when it comes to Midas Tavis, he claims that goes in the genes. So he says, Avraham Avinu's family, they were good to mention. They were Apikursim, they were of the Avodah Zarah, but they had good hearts. They had good hearts. So he says, Avraham Avinu wanted that his daughter-in-law should have a good heart, she should have midas tovus, and the midas should pass on in the genes. Hashkofa, that you can discuss, that you can work on. His chever, his bali tshuva, they didn't have good midas. They came from other families. So he would rather take a girl who started off as an avedus avodah zarah from the base avodah zarah and explain to her about amunah, about yichud Hashem. She'll understand the hashkaf and she'll have the midas tovus rather than take a balas tshuva from a family who has midas megunas, because the midas will never straighten up. So that's important in looking for shidduchim. When we're looking for shidduchim for our children, for grandchildren, it's preferable, he says, to look for the midas. You have to look for midas and days, you have to have both. But the midas, you look at the parents and the grandparents to see whether they're going to be bal midas. The day is already negotiated. The Shmiras HaMitzvahs with the Ashkava, that will straighten them out again. To the animal, we're going to eat the potatoes ourselves, but we're not going to eat it on Shabbos. We're going to have to cook it first. You're not allowed to cook it on Shabbos. The raw potatoes on Shabbos are considered muktzah. So the Magen Avraham quotes this in Hilchos Shabbos from the Rashba in Masechah Shabbos, and he says, and even if it's in the way, I really have raw potatoes. Some people put the raw potatoes in the refrigerator in the summertime to prevent it from sprouting. So let's say on Shabbos, the raw potatoes are in the way. You really want to get something behind it. Yes. You want to push away the raw potatoes. They says you're not allowed to. Because the heter to move something, l'tzarech makomo, if something is in the way, is only if it's a klisha malach to l'yitza. Let's say I have a screwdriver, a hammer on the table. They forgot, he came home the last minute before Shabbos, ran into the office, he takes a shot, runs to shul, then he comes home and the table is not set for Shabbos, which is not right. Tzoyt Shabbos requires that the table should be set before Shabbos. At least Chachi didn't do a malach. Okay. There's a din of kibbutz v'yad. Kibbutz means you should make all the hachonis in advance. And anointing means that you should enjoy the yom tov. If you come in, Shabbos yom tov, you come in and nothing was prepared, so you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of kibbutz. But at least he didn't do any malach. Let's say it comes Friday night, he comes to the table and wants to make kiddush, full of pencils and pens and money and everything. So the pencils and the pens and the screwdrivers and the hammers, that's a klisha malach to l'yisra. So that, if it's tzorach makomo, it's in the way. I don't know, even if he can eat. So come, he wants to have a Shabbos digger table, so you're permitted to take that away with your hand. You're allowed to do it. But let's say the money on the table, the money is muktzah mamish. So muktzah mamish, there is no hetzer to move the tzorach makomo. So the Magen Avraham, let's say the raw potatoes are in the refrigerator and they're in the way, and you want to push them out of the way in order to get to something else behind it. If it would be yontif, the yontif tilfel mukta is mukta for tzarech achanan. But if it's Shabbos, there's no such thing.
The potatoes are not mukta.
Huh?
On yontif, the potatoes
are not mukta. The potatoes are not mukta. But even if there would be something there, that would have been mukta, one would be permitted to move it. Yeah. On Shabbos, can you get manetz and move it with your elbow? We assume, the traditional tzak, the chazanish has a different opinion. But the traditional psak, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, that tilta mukta begufo would be muta. If you move it with any, he says even with the back of your hand would be muta. Tilta mukta is only an iser, the rabbanon, only when your hand. The neder is binding, and he has to pay up after Shabbos. So if he donates, I hereby donate this to the Beis HaMikdash. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, but at the same time, it was in violation of the din. He's in violation of the din. Yeah. The din is if you make a kinyan on Shabbos. Like Gemara in Bava Metzi in the first paragraph. If you make a kinyan on Shabbos, the kinyan is chal.
So if you make a kiddushin on Shabbos, you marry somebody on Shabbos.
Kiddushin is chal. Yeah. If she's Jewish, yeah. No, Henry Kissinger is from Washington Heights, from Breuer's. So he married the shiksa on Shabbos. I think the mother went to the chasna, the father didn't. Yeah. Father said shiva. Yeah. So the kiddushin was not chal because he married a shiksa.
Not to let the shiva in Shabbos.
Yeah.